Hey everyone, and welcome back to the Becoming Mom and Dad podcast. This is episode 22, weeks 37 and 38 of pregnancy. Sorry we missed a week. We just have a lot going on. We've had family in town, and then on top of that, you know, we're at a point where Gemma could be here any day, so we've just kind of been distracted and trying to get last-minute things organized and ready.
I've been having to take a lot of mental health time away from people and things, so...
Yeah, but we're back, and I guess we'll jump into that. Like, Kaylee's been having a rough go of it here towards the end.
I want to hear your take on what, if you had to describe how I felt the last 2 weeks, what would you say?
Miserable.
Yeah, but I mean, describe my symptoms from what you've seen.
It's just hard for her to get around, honestly. Like, I mean, not like she can't get around, but it's like really walking a lot or... being out of the house for a long time and all that stuff, it just takes a really large toll on her body and her energy to be doing a lot of things. It's hard for her to move around well, and she's been super congested for like weeks now and just uncomfortable all around.
To clarify, I've been congested for months, but okay. the last 2 weeks of congestion have been like insane. I mean, I'm waking up, it's just like I'm sick, but I'm waking up like with that crust all over my mouth from mouth breathing all night because I can't breathe out of my nose. And then Skylar's waking me up telling me I'm snoring, and I'm waking up with drool all over my face, and it's just like not a fun time. It's also weird because sometimes I won't even have that much like pelvic pain, and then once I go to lay in the bed, it's like really sharp pains, and then it's like I'm trying to roll over in the bed because I'm like... I've always been a toss and turn person in the bed, and so trying to get comfortable has always been hard for me. But on top of that, I was a stomach sleeper before I was pregnant, and so that's just been hard because I usually can't go into my comfort spot, so I'm just tossing and turning. But with each toss and turn, I'm trying to, like, I have to move my arms, and then I have to move my legs, and then I have to move my stomach, and then I just, it's really painful, so.
And then we're also always playing a game of, are we in labor or no?
Yeah, so the last couple of weeks, I have had a couple spells where, similar to when we went to the hospital, where I thought I maybe have broke my water, but it was just not. So, and it hasn't been crazy, but there's been times where, like, it feels like my water broke and I didn't. But, like, I don't really know if I'm peeing myself.
Or there's been times where, like, you say your stomach's, like, super tight, like, everywhere. And, like, we're like, oh, like, could this be something? But then it's not.
Yeah, it's just never consistent enough. And honestly, like, this is going to sound so stupid, but I don't even know what contractions feel like. So it's just, how am I supposed to know if it's a contraction or not? And then also, like, the Braxton Hicks on top of that, it's like, I still don't even know how to describe that. Like, I feel like I just need someone who's been pregnant a bunch of times to sit me down and be like, when I had a contraction, it felt like this. Like, I've seen some people say, oh, mine just felt like really bad cramps. Or, oh, mine, I could feel like it felt like a snake was wrapping around my belly and squeezing it. And it's just like, I just don't know what to look for, so.
I saw a video the other day, and it was like this couple, and like the woman was very pregnant, I guess, you know, close to her due date, and they were just like eating a meal at a table, and then all of a sudden she like stood up and was like kind of like yelling and was like, oh, like she's coming or whatever. And I'm like, I don't feel like it's that simple.
It's not.
Like, just to stand up really, and be like, oh, it's time.
It really isn't. And people have told me, like, I'll know when I'm in labor for sure, like, and I do believe that part, but I also think it still is like a slow burn before you get to that point. I think you have to like sit there and feel a couple contractions for like a couple hours first and like really make sure it's like what's going on. And then once it kind of kicks up in speed, then that's when you'll know. But that beginning period is so like, it's like hit or miss, obviously. And so either it is or it isn't labor. And I feel like every time it's not, obviously.
We're almost there. It really could be any time. I'm tired of people asking me, like people keep asking me, oh, are you anxious? Oh, are you nervous? So, and I'm just kind of like, no.
I mean, just ready.
I've had 9 months to process like that. We're having a baby. Like, so at this point I'm not really like scared or freaked out. I'm just like ready for it to happen. And also I'm ready for Kaylee to not have to feel miserable all the time.
But some other things that have happened the last couple of weeks, as far as, like, for me, I've gotten, like, really bad nauseous fits out of nowhere. Like, I mean, really nauseated to where I have to go to bed, like, or lay down. I broke out in hives yesterday and the day before. Or maybe that was Friday, I don't remember. But I've broken out in hives for a couple days, and I don't know if that was just, like, stress-related from, like, Thanksgiving and just, like, all of that. Or, I don't know, I've just been kind of all over the place, like, physically. And then, like, I've had really sharp, like, pains, and then it's just, I don't know, she's really heavy. And I feel like, Skylar says he doesn't notice the difference, but I feel like just, like, within the last, like, literally 10 days, my stomach has gotten huge. Like, it just feels, like, so massive. My sweatpants that I've been wearing my whole pregnancy, officially, like, none of my clothes are fitting. I have to wear really, really baggy shirts or sweatshirts with everything that I wear. And it's still, like, even though I wear my pants, like, below my stomach, like, basically barely on me at all, it still digs into my body and leaves, like, marks. And it's, but it's, like, I'm still on the train of, like, not buying maternity clothes. So it's just been a hard time trying
I think, like, now, one thing as, like, a husband or, like, as a partner, then I talked to your mom, actually, about this one day, but it's, like, it's so hard to see you sometimes, like, being so miserable, because it's not, like, you know, if you weren't pregnant and I could be, like, oh, well, like, let's, you know, here, take Advil or ibuprofen or whatever and all this stuff. It's, like, I'm, like, so helpless. Like, there's just, like, nothing you can do about it. Plus, it's, like, you can't get rid of pregnancy symptoms.
I want to take NyQuil so bad for my congestion, like, so I can just sleep, and I can't, and it's honestly torture. I also will say I've had, like, really a hard time just, like, breathing recently, which, like, sounds dramatic, but, like, I'll be sitting here, and I feel like I just feel my lungs, like, working overtime, like, just sitting here, doing nothing. When I talk for, like, long periods of time, like, recording this, like, I'll get, like, winded just, like, talking, and I feel like I'm stuttering over my own breath. When I went to Target the other day, and I had been sitting in the car, and then it's like I was on the phone with Skylar, and as soon as I got out of the car, I took, like, the 10 steps to get through the door at Target, and I'm, like, struggling to talk to him and walk at the same time while being able to catch my breath. Like, it was just, like, it's crazy. And then, like I said, the hives thing happened, and then I've just, like, the congestion's been just, like, really bad. I feel like there was something else that happened, another symptom that I had that, oh, my wedding ring is not fitting anymore. My hands are just, like, swelling up, which I guess, like, they say the last, like, couple weeks you start to swell pretty bad. Oh, my God, the cankles are insane. On Thanksgiving, I was sitting in a recliner and had my feet up. My mom was just saying it looks like it went from, like, straight from leg to foot. Like, I had no ankle at all. My feet are just swelling up. And I did stop waitressing as of, I guess, the first week that we missed, the week 37. That was my last Thursday, Friday, and Saturday of waitressing. And honestly, it kicked my ass, like, for real. And so this past weekend at work, like, so yesterday, Friday and Thursday, that was my first week where I wasn't on the floor at all. Which honestly, it was really nice. I didn't have to, like, worry. Like, sometimes I would wake up and worry, like, oh my God, today's gonna hurt so bad. And, like, I didn't have to, like, worry about that. Still hurt pretty bad every day, but it wasn't, like, excruciating like it was some days after I would wait tables. So
yeah, I think it's just, like, it's kind of funny, but it's, like, not. But, like, it's, like, she'll be so miserable and laying in the bed, and her back will be hurting, or she'll be super congested, and she's, like, telling me, and all I can do is just be, like, sorry, because it's, like, what else can I do? I can't do anything else about it.
Yeah, and honestly, it's, like, it's kind of, like, humorous, because sometimes I, like, look at myself from, like, a third perspective, and I'm, like, I look pathetic. Like, this is insane. But, yeah, I just, honestly, it's not even that and obviously I do want to meet her, and, like, I'm really excited, and, like, I've liked being pregnant, and honestly, like, I say all this negative stuff and make it sound so bad, but it really isn't that bad. My day-to-day life is not terrible. Most of the time, I'm fine, but then it's like every evening, once the sun starts setting, and I've been awake for so long, and I've been walking for so long, and just doing stuff all day, that's when it kind of, like, hits. So as long as you're, like, you can get to a place where you're at home and you can relax by the end of the day, it's honestly bearable. But I was just saying all of that is to say it's like I'm obviously excited to meet her and I'm obviously excited to have the baby and just like be on to the next chapter. But a lot of me wanting her out now is just so I can just have some normalcy back to like my body. Like I'm ready to not be pregnant anymore.
I think my theory is that like I know giving birth for the woman is like a scary thought and like a scary
it honestly sounds experience
but like my theory is that the end of pregnancy is so exhausting on your body that like by time you give birth, even though yeah it's like a scary idea, it's like you're so ready for it to happen that it's not as bad.
Yeah, and honestly like I was trying to explain this feeling to Skylar yesterday and it's still really hard to articulate, I feel like, but I feel like a lot of people, you know, like it's hard because if I see other pregnant people and I see them doing like everyday stuff or like the stuff that I'm doing right now as I'm pregnant, I'm like, oh, like that must be so hard for them. But then it's like I'm extra hard on myself. Like when everyday tasks are difficult, I'm like, God, like you need to suck it up. Like you're just pregnant. Like it doesn't mean you can't do stuff. Like, and I feel like I don't give myself enough like credit for like the things that I am doing while still being so pregnant. And my mom was telling me the other day, she was like, you are literally almost 39 weeks pregnant. Like, you need to, like, don't be so hard on yourself about what you can and can't do. But it's just, like, when I see other people, I, like, feel sympathy for them. But it's, like, when I look at myself, it's, like, I don't feel like I should be viewing my pregnancy as an excuse to, like, not work as much or be tired. Like, I feel like when I'm tired, I'm like, God, why are you so tired? Why are you so, like, exhausted? And it's only 8 p.m. And it's just, like, it's hard because I feel like society, when they look at pregnant women, some people, I mean, obviously there's like, you know, expectations of like, they're going to be more tired, they're going to be this, they're going to be that. But then I also feel like at the same time, pregnant women are still expected to just like go through life normally for the most part, which we do, but it's just like, I don't think people realize how hard it is. And then when you actually get there and you're doing it, it's hard because you don't want to use that as like a crutch. And I feel like for me, like with someone who's usually pretty, like, independent and, like, self-sufficient and, like, whatever, and pretty active and, like, doing stuff and, like, all, just all day long, it's just, like, hard because I can't do all the things. And I feel like I'm trying to avoid using being pregnant as, like, a reason, but, like, it is a reason, and that's the hard part because it is a reason for me to be doing all these things and, like, feeling weak and tired, but it's, like, I don't want to view it as, like, that. I feel like I should be stronger as a pregnant woman. Like, I should be a stronger pregnant woman. I feel like I'm being weak at it, which is like the wrong way to look at it, but that's the kind of mental space you get in sometimes.
I will say that I feel like even though like you've had some rough days and such, I feel like you're still able to do more than like you were doing like the first trimester or whatever. Like, I mean, yeah. You haven't been like going to bed at 8 o'clock and stuff like that. Like, you've still been more active and more, you know, just being able to have fun and do things like at night and such. So
yeah, but it's just like little mental things will get me so defeated. Like two Fridays ago, so like the Friday I guess before we recorded the last episode, or maybe the Friday after, don't remember, but I like worked all day, I waitressed, I was exhausted, I came home and I was like, okay, I need to like lay down when I get home. But then all of a sudden when I came home, I got this like crazy burst of energy and I like deep cleaned the entire house. And then since between then and now, the house has been in a state where it's just not going to be as clean as I got it and how I hoped it would be when the baby got here. And I literally had a mental spiral about it for like a whole day. I was just like, I just cleaned the house. Like, it's just like, I felt defeated. Like, I felt like all my work was for nothing. And it was like, it was so hard on me to get the house as clean as it was. I mean, by the end of it, I was in so much pain from cleaning. And I'm literally out of breath right now, but like, it was just like, I felt defeated and I was like, fuck, I have to do it all over again. And I just like got really discouraged and it's just like hard to like stay motivated to do things when like everything sounds so exhausting.
I mean, I'll even like, for example, a reference, I guess, like even my mom, which my mom's like a personal trainer and like is super in shape and like works out every day and does her job every day. And like, I had talked to her like a few weeks ago about, you know, we kind of talked about you, and even she was saying like the last 2 weeks or 3 weeks of her pregnancy with me, like, she had to stop, like, training and, like, working with people and all this stuff, which, like, if my mom has to stop because it's, like, too exhausting, like, you know it's, like, real, because, like, she'll pretty much work through anything, so, I mean, I think that this, the last few weeks of pregnancy just kicks butt.
Yeah, and I guess we should kind of talk about the last couple of doctor's appointments I've had. So I'm going every week now, so we've had two since the last time that we were together. But the first one I went, I've shifted mindsets now, so I'll get into that in a minute where my mindset is now. But at the beginning of these 2 weeks, my mindset was, I was hoping I was going to go to the doctor. They were going to tell me there was like some labor progression, because I know some people are, you know, they dilate and then they stay dilated at a certain centimeter for however many weeks until they give birth. And then some people will literally be at a zero one day and then go into labor that night and have a baby that night. So really, honestly, when you get like your cervical checks and stuff where they check for like any dilation or effacement of the cervix, it really doesn't mean anything like actual, because everybody is different when they're pregnant and every pregnancy is different. But I've been hoping that I would go in and they would tell me, oh, you're so many centimeters dilated, or, oh, like, looks like the baby might come soon, or whatever. The first 37-week appointment where I went in, they, you know, the last one, they had told me that she was measuring, like, 6 pounds, 11 ounces, and so I was like, oh, my God, she's going to be big, whatever. I go, she comes in, she checks me, she basically says I'm at a zero and that nothing's happened yet, and I was like, all right, whatever, and then I left. That was pretty much all that happened. I had told Skylar and my mom that I might get a membrane sweep the next week, which is like where she kind of just goes in, moves some things around to kind of get labor going. And then I went to the 38-week appointment the week after that and decided I didn't want one because I didn't want to, like, part of me still doesn't really want to force it. Like, I want it to happen when she's ready. So I was like, I'll just wait. I still have 2 more weeks till my due date, whatever. And so she checked again. I don't know what she meant by this, but she basically said that there was like about a fingertip's worth. So maybe I was like trying to dilate a little bit. And she said my cervix was really, really soft, which, like, I guess part of it is, so there's different terms. I guess dilating is like how much the cervix is opening. And then effacement is how much it's thinning and shortening, like height-wise almost. So it's kind of like the way I looked at a picture, which you can Google it, it's kind of like a tube. The tube has to get like shorter and it also has to get wider. So like the two different things basically, but neither of them were happening for me. But she said that it was getting really soft, and that so usually once it starts to soften a lot, that's when it kind of starts to maybe progress. So she was like, you could be having some progression the next time you come. But at that point, I still had nothing. I don't know if the softening of the cervix is due to the tea I've been drinking, because raspberry leaf tea is supposed to help with that. And I've been taking the evening primrose oil, which is also supposed to help with that. So, I mean, either way, even if I'm not progressed, the fact that it's soft is a really good sign that maybe I won't have a hard labor and I won't tear as easily, because my skin is more malleable down there to be like stretched. So that's a good sign, but still nothing. So I think I'm going to go. Well, I know I'm going, but I think when I go this Tuesday, I may get the membrane sweep if there's nothing going on. Like if there's absolutely no signs of labor at all, I might just be like, do it, because it does work for some people. Some people, they get one and they still don't go into labor for another week, but some people get one and they go into labor the next day. So I may get one just because I really don't want to go past her due date, and the doctor's office I go to is very picky about inductions. So we'll see. But
we also went to our second birthing class two Tuesdays ago, or one Tuesday, I don't know, whatever. We went to that. And they kind of just, again, it wasn't like a birthing class where they're teaching us how to breathe or putting us in positions or anything. It was just, they really just talked to us a lot about the epidural and kind of how the birth goes and how they decide if a baby needs to be transferred to a more, like, intense hospital and stuff like that.
Because our hospital does not have a NICU, which, like, most people listening to this, their hospital probably has a NICU, which ours just does not because we're in the middle of nowhere. So.
Yeah, which I think the talk about the epidural freaked me out more than Kaylee.
Do you want to talk about the process of the epidural since you actually know how it works, kind of, or do you not feel like you don't know how it works enough?
I feel like I'm not good enough at explaining it.
Well, basically, from what I learned, and so this could be informational for everyone else, like... when you first come to the hospital, you don't want to, if you want to do like any home laboring, you don't want to wait too long because you can get to the hospital and it be too late to get the epidural. They're not going to give it to you. Like, I guess every hospital is different, but my hospital specifically said, if you come in and you're 8 to 9 centimeters, we're probably not going to give it to you because by the time we even get your stuff ready, it's going to be time to push. Because they, when you get there, they have to do lab work on you and basically you're, hematocrit and white blood cell count and red blood cell count and all that have to be in like good order for you to get the epidural. So you have to go in, you have to get the blood work done, and you also have to have consistent signs of labor before they will admit you and get you in. And then once they do that, they have to do like a, they have to hook your IV up, and then you have to have, what do they, I forget what they call the bags, but they have to put a certain bag on the IV, and you have to get a whole bag of the stuff.
They basically have to hydrate you.
Yeah, it's like a whole, it's like, but you have to do the whole bag, and they said it can take anywhere from like 25 to 45 minutes, depending on how your IV is working.
Because
and stuff.
I think it was like the...
If you get your epidural without being really hydrated, your blood pressure can drop, I think is what they said.
Yeah.
So basically they have to like do the bag of fluid before they can give it to you. So basically you're looking at an hour and a half's worth of stuff to do once you get to the hospital before they can even give you the epidural. And then they got to call the anesthesiologist and all that. And if it's the weekend or the night, they might have to drive from their house. So you don't want to put off going to the hospital if you do know you want to get an epidural. And then they kind of talked about the process of it. They said they come in. They will have everybody leave the room, which that kind of freaked me out because I thought Skylar would at least be able to be in there while I got it, but he can't. So I'm going to be in there alone. But they will have me basically hunch over the side of the bed with my feet up on a stool. They will do lidocaine first, which they said that's the most painful part because the shot, like the needle they use for that's pretty intense. And they said it just feels like a bee sting and it'll go away. But then they'll basically, the way epidurals work, it's basically just like an IV in your back. They're going to put the little plastic tube into what they called your epidural space. And then they have to tape it up your back so it doesn't move around and stuff when you're in labor. And it's just a constant flow of medicine. And that's it. And Skylar was getting really freaked out when the lady was talking about
it. I don't like needles, but then the more I thought about it, the more I like thought about the process, honestly, like it's less intense than I thought it was. Like when I first kind of heard about epidurals and what they were, I thought it was a little bit more crazy than it is.
Most people that I've heard from like say that it's not as bad as they expected it. Like they expected it to be really painful and it wasn't that bad. Some people have said the most painful part is when they go to remove it, all the tape they have to put on your skin to get it to stay in place, like ripping the tape off is worse than actually getting it in. And they said you don't really feel it come out at that point. You're like also holding your baby and you're in shock of like being a parent, so it's just like all that kind of just doesn't matter. And they'll leave the epidural in if you do have to get stitches. But that's basically all they talked about there. I don't really remember if there's anything else they really touched on.
Mostly,
they touched on like what to bring to the hospital, which like the same stuff everybody says.
And we kind of talked about, they talked about like our pediatrician a little bit more about how that all works. They said if the baby comes, you know, kind of just during the middle of the day, usually the pediatrician will be there like after they get off their clinic hours. They'll like, so like in the late afternoon they'll come by and check on everything, and then like if it's an emergency, like something's going on, they'll come pretty much immediately. And then like they were saying, if it's you have your baby like late at night or early in the morning and the baby's healthy and they don't see any signs to worry about,
they'll come like before they go to the office.
Yeah, they'll either come before like first thing in the morning, but they're not going to come like at 2 a.m. to see your baby. But
yeah, they basically just said that like, you know, they'll get notified that you had the baby and if something's wrong, they'll come in. But like as long as your baby's healthy and doing normal, they'll just come like basically either on the way into work or on the way out of work, depending on what time. So,
which, and then again, they talked about like, if they were to transfer your baby, whether they do it, like, by ambulance or with a helicopter, which, like, I guess, like, I don't know, part of me was like, this is kind of dramatic to be talking about, but then I'm also, I guess, like, you want to know
if yeah, happens, if it does happen to you, then all of a sudden you'll have all these questions of, like, you know, where's my baby going to go? How's it going to get there? How am I going to get there? They did say if it goes by ambulance, they usually let the mom ride with the baby or the dad. I guess they said it depends on if the mom's even ready to be discharged or not. They said if the baby's flown out, though, that you have to just, it's just going by itself.
Yeah.
So that's kind of scary.
But I think they only said, like, our hospital said they only have, like, maybe, like, 5 babies a month that have to be transferred. So it's not, like, super common.
Yeah. So I'm hoping that just doesn't happen for us. I mean, at this point, we're kind of, like, past, like, the early term babies.
Yeah.
So, like, we're already at less of a risk of that anyways. But, yeah, I think that's pretty much all as far as, like, doctor's appointments and stuff. I guess I should talk about where baby actually is at right now as far as development. So for 37 weeks, Gemma was the size of a spaghetti squash, which I'm like, how does that even fit in there? Stressful. She was about 6.7 pounds, which we already know she was at least 6 pounds and 11 ounces, or that's what they say, but apparently that can be off by a pound too, give or take. So we don't really know how big she is. And then she was about 18 inches long. She was almost ready to be born, and she started practicing smiling in the womb, so that's kind of cute. And then at 38 weeks, she is now the size of a lemon. She is, on the average, at least over 7 pounds now and closer to 19 inches long. She is, again, almost ready to be born, and she also has fully formed toenails and fingernails now. So now she has little grippers and claws in there. She can claw her way out, I guess. I don't know. But we pretty much are, like, at the last week, essentially, because tomorrow is when I turn 39 weeks, and then we're a week away from the due date, so that's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
But I kind of think, this is just my, I mean, you know, we all thought, I already had to deal with the embarrassment that I thought she was going to come the 29th, and then obviously she's still not here, so, but I do have a pretty good feeling. I do think she's going to come within, like, a week from today. I think she'll be born sometime between today and the 8th. Her due date's the 10th, so that's not even really that far of a stretch to say that. So we'll see, but I just really hope she comes by that point. I would love to, like, honestly go into labor, like, closer to the weekend, like on Thursday or Friday. Because then that gives, like, people who have jobs, like my sister and my friend who want to come into town, to, like, be able to be off work already and just come up. So that'd be kind of convenient. But obviously, as long as she comes healthy and it's, like, a little, like, pretty close to her due date, I really don't care when she comes at this point. Like, I just don't want to go a whole week past.
My new thing I've been asking guys I know who have kids is, I'm like, oh, did you look or did you not look when your wife was giving labor? And I kind of got, like, I've gotten mixed answers. Some people said they did. Some people said they didn't. I don't really want to look.
The people who
said
they did they say they were glad they did or didn't, or wish they didn't?
They didn't really have, like, they didn't really give out glad or against it. They kind of were just like, yeah, I did, and that was it.
You should have been like, did you regret that after?
Another thing too is, like, this has been going on, like, the whole pregnancy, and I get this a lot from people when, like, they find out I'm having a baby, especially because, like, in my work I've been meeting, like, so many people, and, like, one of my things, my boss likes to, like, introduce me to people and be like, oh, and he's going to be a father soon. So, like, that comes up. And so many people are like, oh, well, make sure you're sleeping as much as you can now. And, like, I get the sentiment of that. But I'm also just kind of like, you know, it's not like sleeping a lot now is going to build up some type of reserve of sleep for me. Like, I'm still going to be, I mean, I could go to bed at, like, 6 o'clock every night for the next week, and then when the baby comes, if I'm up 24 hours, I'm still going to be tired. So I'm like, I don't get that. I'm like, I'm not going to build up sleep.
I've honestly been staying up late more the last couple of weeks because it's just, like, so hard for me to get comfortable anyways. Like, sometimes I get tired earlier, but I'm like, God, going to bed just sounds, like, exhausting.
I just figure I'm already tired all the time now, so when the baby comes, I'm still going to be tired all the time, and it's not going to be any different. I mean, hey, maybe I'm wrong, and there's someone out there listening being like, wow, you're stupid, but...
No, literally.
Well, if I'm stupid, then I'll find out, but...
If we're stupid, then we'll update you in season 2 after the baby's here.
Yeah,
and be like, yeah, sleep as much as you can right now, because it really made a difference. No, but I just... Yeah, I... I feel giant. I look giant. I don't know. I'm hoping my face doesn't swell up super bad close to time. I feel like my lips have kind of, like, swelled up and my fingers have kind of swelled up. But, like, other than that, that's it.
I think I just see her every day, and so I don't really notice these things as much.
I've looked at pictures of me from, like, pre-pregnancy and, like, early pregnancy to now, and my lips are definitely bigger.
Well, that's a positive, I guess.
Yeah, but they're going to shrink back down probably. And then my fingers are swollen, like I said. They don't look swollen. Like, my fingers don't look swollen at all. They just, my wedding ring, literally, I have to rip it off my finger every day.
Yeah, she keeps going, my wedding ring's stuck. And I'm like, okay, why are you still wearing it?
I don't like not wearing it. And then, like I said, my ankles are swollen. I think at this point, like, let me look at them right now. They're not, like, super swollen right now, but it's like I already wake up and my ankles are already swollen. So it's not even like they're just never not swollen. But yeah, I think that's pretty much all of the update we have. I'm literally out of breath now, so.
Okay, well, we'll end it here, and we hope everyone enjoyed listening. And
manifest for us that by the time you hear us next, we'll be telling our birth story, because yeah. I'm trying to have this baby out by next Sunday. So if you don't, let's put it this way. We are going to record for sure on Sunday if we have not had the baby. So if you don't hear from us on Sunday, then we have had the baby.
Yeah,
so.
I can't really promise that we'll not miss a week or anything.
No, we're we'll not going to miss a week. Well,
okay. No, I mean, like, if the baby comes.
We're not going to miss it. We're not going to just put it off next week. If the baby's still not here and we are pregnant, then we will definitely be recording and posting an episode on Sunday. If baby is here or we are in the hospital on the way to have baby, then you will not hear from us. So let that be what it will. If you see us, cool. If not, then wish for a smooth delivery. So,
but hope everyone has a good week, and we'll maybe talk to you next week.
Bye.
Bye.